WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, sitting in for Terry Gross.
Treat me sweet and gentle when you say goodnight. Just squeeze me, but please don't tease me.
That's Joe Stafford from her 1960 album Joe and Jazz. Stafford died Wednesday at the age of 90. She was one of the most popular singers of the 1940s and 50s. Early in her career, she was a member of the Pied Pipers, the vocal group that backed up Sinatra on his early recordings with Tommy Dorsey. After leaving the group, she had hit after hit in the 1940s and 50s, culminating with Columbia Records presenting her the Diamond Award for being the first recording artist to sell 25 million records. One of her best-known recordings was You Belong to Me. She was married to the pianist, arranger, and bandleader Paul Weston, with whom she often collaborated. Among their accomplishments are some of the most inept-sounding recordings ever made, intentionally so. They made hilarious recordings as their alter egos Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. Terry spoke with Stafford and Weston in 1988 after they'd reissued Joe and Jazz and Jonathan and Darlene Edwards' greatest hits. Here's Jonathan and Darlene defiling an Ellington classic.
Been invited on dates, might have gone, but what for? Awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore.
Joe Stafford, when you're singing as Darlene, do you sway back and forth with your eyes closed?
In my mind, I do. In my mind, I do, wearing a hat and white gloves at all times, even in the recording studio.
One of the songs that you do is Alabama Bound, and it features you singing accompanied by a chorus of overzealous, overenthusiastic male singers.
Well, we did that as a sort of a put-on of the Mitch Miller sing-along. And the idea with these singers that backed us up, they were some of the best singers in town. And we just told them to be, you know, they sang very well, but a little, maybe a teensy bit overenthusiastic. And but actually, they did their parts quite nicely, I thought.
I thought this record might be somehow a tribute to Mitch Miller. Now, this is interesting. You'd both worked at Columbia Records, where Mitch Miller was the head of Artisan Repertoire. Mm-hmm. How did he take to this little tribute?
We just never asked him.
And we've never heard.
What was the first time that you performed together as Jonathan and Darlene?
I would play piano at parties, you know, after Johnny Green and David Rose and everyone else had finished playing well. I would just play for the fun of it and play like Jonathan. And Joe became Darlene at the end of record sessions when Mitch Miller would send us out some junk to record and the guys in the band, and Joe hated it so much that she would do it as Darlene at the end of the session.
Just as a kind of a way to put down the song that we all hated anyway, just for fun.
So I could see how this tribute to Mitch Miller might have had a real special magic for you under the circumstances.
Boy, you hit it right on the button.
Joe Stafford, let me ask you a few questions about your real self. You had many very popular records during the Second World War. How were you choosing your material then? Did you especially look for records that you thought could really have an extra special meaning to people who were separated during the war?
Well, I think the songs that the songwriters wrote took care of that. You know, there were some great songwriters then, and I think that the times during the war years, I mean, the times sort of dictated the content of the material, and it was there, ready made.
What kind of stories did you hear from people during the war, then after the war, about what your songs meant to them, the kind of sentimental meaning the songs took on?
Oh, a great deal. As a matter of fact, I still get them. I still get letters saying, I first heard you at such and such a time during the war, in some place in the Pacific or flying over Europe. I still get them. And yes, many of the songs meant a great deal to them and to me. And I was often like the go-between between this fellow and his girl. And what I was singing was, quote, their song, unquote.
When rock and roll started making it onto the charts in the 1950s, did that make things difficult for you both?
Well, at that time, I was doing television, and a lot of television, besides the recording. And there was a kind of an attempt to get me connected and to try and do some of that material. And it wouldn't work. I couldn't do it. And but my career continued on in television, which at that point was not that much affected by rock and roll. The music on television stayed pretty much the same for a number of years.
I was doing television then as a conductor. And, of course, we had, in the early days, they would have these rock artists as guests. And I did a show with The Doors with Jim Morrison. And I did a show with the Mamas and the Papas, but they were called the Big Three at that time.
You know, Joe Stafford, you had a hit of You Belong to Me, and then the Dupree's had a rock and roll version of that years later. I was wondering what you thought of that when that made it onto the charts.
I don't think... I wasn't even aware of that until some kind of a seminar we had in which some young A&R man...
Snuffy Garrett.
Brought it up as he was using it as some kind of an example of a style that these people could do if they wanted to, and he made a big speech about this song, You Belong to Me, not realizing that I, who was sitting next to him, had been the first one to record it and had a tremendous hit from it. He didn't even know it.
And he said, this song was recorded so many years ago by somebody, you know, old, you know, and Joe's sitting there next to him.
See the pyramids along the Nile. Watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. Just remember, darling, all the while, you belong to me. See
Joe Stafford and Paul Weston spoke with Terry Gross in 1988. Stafford died Wednesday at the age of 90. Weston, her husband, died in 1996.